Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I'm here to tell you about an awesome way for you to rub elbows with your favorite podcast host here on the Sports History Network, while at the same time rooting for your hometown team this upcoming NFL season. You've been hearing all about our partner, Tailgate Fantasy, the past few weeks. Well, dig on this. Tailgate created a special Sports History Network league for our listeners, so we can put the word fan back into fantasy football together. It's free to join, and if you do so before the season kicks off, you'll automatically be entered into a drawing for a free t-shirt from one of our other partners, Home Field Apparel. It's a win-win-win! So hurry up today and head to sportshistorynetwork.com/tailgate for all the details. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/tailgate.
The game of football is much about winning and teamwork. And in today's episode, we're going to talk a lot about that winning as we talk about the very first nationally televised NFL title game. Also, the first permanent coast-to-coast radio network was established, and the most famous play in football history took place on your football history headlines, December 23rd, coming up in just a moment. PigskinDispatch.com is a proud affiliate of the Sports History Network, the headquarters of sports yesteryear. This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. This is your host, Darren Hayes, and we're broadcasting from the Pig Pen in Western Pennsylvania, bringing you the memories of the gridiron, one day at a time. So, with Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff supplying us with the tunes, let's go no huddle through today's football history headlines. Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com, and I'd like to welcome you to the December 23rd football history headlines. And I just want to make a little bit of a podcasting note here that some of the podcast providers, such as Apple, may delay putting some of the podcasts on during the Christmas holiday season. So if you don't see it at your favorite podcast provider, please make sure you go to PigskinDispatch.com, where you can see the embed player on a daily article. It'll be there every day of the week, just like it is now. And also on sportshistorynetwork.com, it'll also be found there. So if you can't find on your favorite podcast provider, don't worry. It's just because of the holidays, they've got a little bit shorthanded on some of their people. There may be some delays in getting that podcast on the day that you expect it to be there, but don't worry. PigskinDispatch.com and SportsHistoryNetwork.com will both have the podcast when it should be on the day it goes. Now let's get to your football history headlines. December 23rd, 1928. Per the OnThisDay.com website, the NBC Radio Network set up a permanent coast-to-coast broadcast radio network for the first time. December 23rd, 1951, Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. The National Football League Championship had the Los Angeles Rams hosting the Cleveland Browns in what would be the first nationally televised NFL game from coast to coast per the American Football Database. The now-defunct Dumont Network purchased the rights from the NFL to broadcast the game for a cool sum of $95,000. Announcers for the game were Earl Gillespie and Harry Wismer. The game was a back-and-forth battle as legendary quarterbacks Otto Graham of Cleveland and Norm Van Brocklin of L.A. led their respective offenses. The pivotal plays of the game were monumental in the outcome. In the third quarter, Graham coughed up the ball on a hard hit, and L.A. returned it to the Cleveland 2, scoring a few plays later. The backbreaker, though, was that after the Browns tied the score, when they answered the back on the 8-yard, 70-yard drive that ended with a 5-yard touchdown by Ken Carpenter, the Rams responded in kind. Tom Fears accepted a Van Brocklin pass in the fourth quarter and raced 73 yards for the winning touchdown as the Rams outlasted the Browns 24-17. All right, now, here's our feature story, and it's a big one. December 23rd, 1972, at Three Rivers Stadium in Pittsburgh, the Immaculate Reception took place. It may be the most talked about and most replayed single play in all of football history. This one changed the course of a long-suffering Pittsburgh franchise, who after their inception in 1933 had never won in the postseason. In fact, the Steelers had only played in one playoff game in 1947 in their first 38 years of existence. The game on that December 23rd was the 1972 AFC Divisional Playoff. The Raiders were the heavy favorites coming into the game, and everyone was looking forward to Oakland going up against the powerful, undefeated Miami Dolphins to see who would represent the AFC in the Super Bowl. According to the folks at BehindTheSteelCurtain.com website, it was the upstart Steelers for the most of the game who dominated play, as the Raiders offense, who boasted 7 Pro Bowlers, could not score for almost 59 minutes against the Pittsburgh defense. Kicker Roy Girella had 2 field goals that had the Steelers up 6-0 late in the fourth quarter. Then with 1:13 left to play, Oakland's Ken Steak Stabler, who had replaced the ineffective Daryl LaMonica, scrambled left on a broken play and sprinted untouched for a 30-yard touchdown to put the Raiders up 7-6. It all came down to a play with 22 ticks of the clock remaining as the Steelers had the ball on their own 40, facing a 4th-and-10 with no timeouts remaining. Terry Bradshaw dropped back to pass. The Raiders sent pressure, but miraculously, the blonde bomber danced his way through and launched a pass over the middle to running back Frenchy Fuqua, who was near the Oakland 33-yard line. Raiders legend Jack Tatum was draped on Fuqua like a winter jacket, and the pair went up to make a play on the ball. The football went off the tandem and lofted backwards towards the Steelers' goal line. Then out of nowhere, fellow Steelers running back Franco Harris, who was galloping downfield to make a block, reached towards his ankles and snagged the deflected pass on the Raiders' 42 and turned and ran towards the left sidelines to race for a most unexpected touchdown. The stadium went into total pandemonium. Raiders coach John Madden and his sideline argued that Tatum never touched the ball, and per an NFL rule at the time, for Harris to legally touch it after it hit Fuqua, then a defender would have to make a play on contact the ball himself. A second ruling needed to be made as to whether the ball touched the ground in the process of Harris catching it. The extra point by the Steelers was delayed even further as referee Fred Swearingen left the field to go into the Pittsburgh Pirates dugout to make a call to the NFL supervisor of officials, Art McNally, to talk about who knows what. Some claim that McNally used replay for the first time in NFL history to help Swearingen determine the ruling on the play. McNally insisted that instant replay was not a factor and that all he did was encourage Swearingen to make his call. That may be, but many in the know still swear that instant replay was unofficially born on that very play in the Steel City that day. Swearingen finally emerged back onto the field, stuck both arms up into the air, and after a Girella kick, the Steelers came back to win 13-7. Later, longtime Steelers announcer Myron Cope received a phone call from a fan about the play, which helped him to spread the coined phrase of the Immaculate Reception, and a legend still lives on to this day. Now let's take a quick break from our headlines, and let me remind you can learn more about gridiron history on our website, pigskindispatch.com, and you can contact me, Darren Hayes, at pigskindispatch@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from someone who's here, is one of my podcasting partners from the sportshistorynetwork.com that has a message just for you.
Hello, sports fans. My name is Mark Mortier, and my show is called Yesterday Sports. My show mainly focuses on old school sports from the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. I'm a member of the Pro Football Researchers Association and a sports historian. I have a podcast every other Tuesday, so come join us at the Sports History Network for a trip down memory lane.
In other football action on December 23, 1972, number 15 Arizona State outlasted Missouri 49-35 in the second ever played Fiesta Bowl game. According to the FiestaBowl.com webpage, the Sun Devils set a record in college football history with 718 yards of total offense as they registered in the game. Arizona State runners had a field day against Mizzou's defense as Woody Green put up 202 yards rushing mostly on the outside the tackles and scored 4 touchdowns, while backfield mate Brent McClanahan pounded the ball up the gut against the Tigers to gain an additional 171 yards. Now it's time to light up those candles on the birthday cakes, because the Hall of Fame birthdays are going to be discussed for this December 23rd, and we'll start off in the year 1870 in Tonawanda, New York. Frank Hinkey, the prolific Yale University guard, was born. The National Football Foundation voted to have the career of Frank Hinkey entered into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1951. December 23rd, 1935, from Louisville, Kentucky, Paul Hornung, the legendary Notre Dame halfback, was born. According to the NFF, Hornung, who is also known as the Golden Boy, was a two-time All-America selection in 1955 and again in 1956. His heroics in the 1955 game against Iowa, he led a drive to tie the score late in a long run on a 40-yard touchdown pass. Hornung then kicked the extra point for the tie and later the winning field goal to lead the Irish to victory over the Hawkeyes. The Irish were not a very good team in 1957, but Hornig's play was spectacular and led him to become the only Heisman Trophy winner to have played on a losing team. The National Football Foundation voted Paul Hornung in as a member of the College Football Hall of Fame in 1985. The Green Bay Packers used a bonus draft pick to select the Golden Boy to play for their franchise. Hornung enjoyed a 9-year pro career with the Packers, where he led the league in scoring, as he was both a halfback and place kicker for the team. Hornung finished with 760 career points, powered by 62 TDs and a 190 point after kicks and 66 field goals. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Paul Hornung into their fold in 1986. December 23, 1936, in Washington, D.C., Willie Wood, the quarterback from USC, celebrated his birth. According to the ProFootballHOF.com, Willie didn't even get drafted in the NFL. He signed as a free agent with the Pack, and they moved him from quarterback to free safety. All he did was have a brilliant 14-year career, where he had 48 career interceptions with 2 touchdowns for the Green Bay Packers. Wood also was a punt return specialist during his Packers career, and he ran 2 of those to the house, as well as having a 7.4-yard average. The Pro Football Hall of Fame enshrined Willie Wood in 1989. Next, we just talked about the immaculate reception that happened in 1972 with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, one of the players on that team, one of their stars, celebrated then too because he was having a birthday besides winning that great game. And it happened on December 23rd, 1948 in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. Jack Ham, the linebacker from Penn State, was born. The NFF describes Ham as one of the greatest players Penn State ever had. He wasn't the most gifted athlete, as many acclaimed, including his head coach Joe Paterno, but he was a hard worker who used his smarts to be a great linebacker. To his credit, Jack was a great headsy football player who was an All-American and had 251 career tackles, 143 of those were unassisted, and Jack also set a school record with 3 block punts in 1968. The National Football Foundation selected Jack Ham to enter into the College Football Hall of Fame in 1990. After college, the Pittsburgh Steelers chose Jack with the 34th overall pick in the 1971 NFL Draft. Jack played for 12 seasons for the Black and Gold, registering 32 interceptions, 21 fumbles recovered, and playing in 8 Pro Bowls. Injury prevented him from playing in Super Bowl XIV, but he collected his championship rings to go with the other 3 he had helped earn in Super Bowls IX, X, and XIII. In 1988, Jack Ham became a card-carrying member of the Gold Jacket Club in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. We hope you enjoyed these football history headlines for December 23rd and that you join us tomorrow for December 24th's football history headlines, because we're here every day. And on that episode, we will talk about the University of South Carolina's first football game, the birth of the Bullet, and the Browns nearly win the championship in their first season in the NFL. Don't forget that Apple and a couple of the other podcast providers may have a delay during the holidays, but you can always find it on the day you're looking for it on pigskindispatch.com or on the sportshistorynetwork.com. So make sure you get notified the second the next edition of this podcast is released. Please put your mouse cursor over that subscribe button on your podcast player and crush it like an empty Gatorade cup in the hands of an angry linebacker. You can also find all the episodes at your favorite podcast provider, pigskindispatch.com or the sportshistorynetwork.com, where you'll also find many other great nostalgic sports stories and interview podcasts with an all-star cast of podcast hosts and guests to share some of history's greatest sporting events. Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics.
PigskinDispatch.com. It's also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com. Hey there, Sports History fan. This is Arnie Chapman, a.k.a. the Football History Dude, and I wanted to thank you for stopping by to listen to another episode here on the Sports History Network. Our podcasters are passionate about uncovering and sharing sports stories from yesteryear. And if you didn't know it already, we have over 30 shows across the network covering all sorts of sports history topics. In fact, here's a glimpse into one of our awesome podcasts here on the network.
Each week, the official Football Learning Academy podcast will take you deep into the history of pro football through interviews with players, coaches, or administrators in the NFL, as well as interviews with Pro Football Hall of Fame selectors, authors, and historians. You'll learn how the game evolved and important moments that shaped the sport into what it is today. And don't miss the Pro Football History Nugget of the Week. Listen to the official Football Learning Academy podcast on the Sports History Network.
How about that? I bet you're super hyped to go listen to that new podcast, right? Well, to learn about this show and all the other podcasts on the network, head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/podcast. Head over there today to find your next favorite sports history podcast.